Why does she say fearless? Good morning, churches.
Good morning.
It's just so great to have Woodland Valley Church with us today from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And it's also so great to see some new faces out there. Welcome. Welcome to our fellowship. And just welcome that we can be together as one body of Christ, just serving the Master and bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to the world and to help grow each other in that good news. Woodland Valley Church, where are you? Raise your hand. Okay. A warm welcome to you. But we need to tell you or teach you about some slang up here so that you can fit in. This area is predominantly Finn, so you'll hear words spoken in a different way than you're used to. And we're just going to try to teach you some of the language up here. And in that, we have a translator, Mike. Mike. But that's okay. Brian's going to come up here, too, as our Pittsburgh translator. So, Pittsburgh guys, Jens guys, we're going to teach you Uber language. Now, Uber is slang for those that... Upanese, right. Versus Pittsburghese. Okay. Upanese. Uber is slang for one who lives north of the Mackinac Bridge. Did you come across the Mackinac Bridge? It's not Mackinac, it's Mackinac, okay? Now let me show you, and this is nice, this is unique. Let me show you Michigan. You got that? That is Michigan, okay? You see this little place here where it looks like it's empty? That's where the bridge comes across from the lower peninsula to the upper peninsula. You got that? Pittsburgh guys? Okay. You are right here. You got it? Now, if you live up here in this area, you are, and you've been born and raised, you are a Uper. Right, guys? Am I getting this right? If you live below the bridge, which you people from Pittsburgh live below the bridge, you're a troll. Okay? Now, I've been up here a year, but I haven't passed the mustard as far as being adopted into this family. But when I do, I'm going to become a trooper. You got that? Troll and Uber trooper. Okay. A Uber. Mike, can you say Uber?
Uber.
Pittsburgh, Uber? Uber. Okay. Pittsburgh, we say, well, we'll cover this. But up here they say, you guys. You got that? You guys. And you guys is often used to refer to more than one person, i.e., are you guys going to Smelton tonight? Right?
And the answer would be, you betcha.
Which moves us to the next word, you betcha. You got it? You betcha. Ready, Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Okay, you got it. And you betcha is a phrase meaning yes, without a doubt. Now, there in Pittsburgh, we might say huh a lot. But up here, there's a word that always ends a sentence. And that is
hey.
And sometimes it's the other word that is
hey.
Hey. So can you say that? Hey? Okay. So we would say... Say ya to the Uber, eh? Say ya to the Uber, eh? Go ahead, say ya to the Uber, eh? You got it. They're catching on. And of course, they love football up here just as well as in Pittsburgh. And so they have...
The Pack.
The Pack. So why don't you read that for us?
Okay, Mike. Green Bay Packers, the NFL team... that the Upers love the most.
Eh? You got it?
We often use all these together in the same time. We say, hey, you guys, we're Upers, you betcha, eh? And we're going to go to see the Pack play this weekend.
Thanks, Mike. That's pretty good. Grace Christian Fellowship and guests that live up here, we got to teach you Pittsburghese, okay, or Pittsburgh slang. And the first one is Yinzer. Can you say Yinzer for us, Brian?
You're a stranger.
Come on, put the mic up.
Yinzer.
Okay. Yeah. A Yinzer is somebody from the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. And that has an extremely strong Pittsburgh accent, like our friend Brian has. Although he'll tell you he speaks perfect English.
Yeah. I don't have no accent.
But Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to us, is called?
The Burg.
The Burg, right, right. And if you go into Pittsburgh, that's called?
Downtown.
Say that again.
Downtown.
Downtown. You got that? You Ubers got that? Say it. Downtown. So when you hear any of these guys say, I'm going to go to Calumet downtown, you know it's downtown. You got that? Also, the Ubers say, Use guys. Pittsburghese says,
Yins guys.
Come on, say that loud.
Yins guys.
Okay. Come on, Ubers. Can you say that? Yins guys.
Yins.
Yinses. That's why they're Yinsers. And then when somebody tries to affirm things, like, you know, I understand, they might say,
there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. You first. Can you say that?
There you go.
That's slang for there you go. There you go. Another big thing in Pittsburgh is a combination of two words that means and that. And that. And that word is?
And that.
Come on,
say that. And that.
Can you say that?
And that.
I go to the grocery store, I'm going to buy some milk and some potatoes, and that.
And that.
And that.
No.
And last but not least, Pittsburgh has their team, too, and they're called the?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, or Steelers, right?
Steelers.
Steelers. We call them the Steelers.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, of course we know them as
the Super Bowl champions. Why aren't the Penguins mentioned here?
Wait a second. There is one slang that we both have in common, and that's called the Pens, right?
Yeah, the
okay.
Pens.
Here, read that.
Okay.
Uber.
The Pens, enemy of the Wings, and not a better team than the Wings.
Okay. In Pittsburgh, we say the same thing. We say the Pens. Read that. The Pens.
The Pens, Pittsburgh Penguins, Stanley Cup champions.
And we'll leave it at that.
I was cautioned not to wear my Pens hat here.
We did caution everybody.
Because Yin's guys have beat me in that.
And that. Thank you. And that. And I'm sure that Grace Christian Fellowship is used to my accent because every once in a while I call Yin's guys Yin's guys. So I'm hoping that I can change my ways so I can really become a Uper, or a trooper, at least. Today we're going to talk about the mysteries of God. And as ministers of Christ, all of us, we share a special relationship with Him. A relationship that many of the unsaved in this world don't know about. And here in this community, we as Christians are entrusted with the mysteries of God, and that's to share with them, especially this week for Vacation Bible School, to share with them the mysteries that we find common because of our walk with Christ. But to others, it's as foreign as foreign as Uperese or Pittsburghese. It's that foreign to the unsaved. I call this sermon today Stewards of the Mystery, or Revealing the Secrets of God. And our Bible verse comes from 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2. But before I read this, I forgot to get everybody together and say hi to one another. So, Ubers and Yunzers, get together and greet everybody in the name of the Lord. Any questions? Okay, let's go to our scripture verse today, and it will be in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2. So please go to your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2. But before we start, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say that you're excited to study the mysteries of God. Go ahead and do that. There's a lot of excitement here, right? I'm excited too. Let me read from 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2. Since then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, just praising your name. We praise your name, Lord, with the understanding that no matter where we come from, whether it's Pittsburgh or the UP, that we're united as a body of believers. Dear Lord, I pray that your presence will be known to all of us today, that your anointing will be thick, that this atmosphere will be cleared of all spiritual humility, and that you will bring to us your word in a meaningful, powerful way. Lord, I ask that you use me and you work within me to give the concise and precise message of the mysteries of God. And we lift this service up to you, Lord. We certainly lift this sermon up to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. I'm going to do something a little bit different today, something I've not done before. I am very nervous because I've not done a children's sermon here. So we're going to try it. And with that, I'm going to be up here so you can see the kids. I ask all the kids come up for a children's sermon. Vacation Bible School this week?
Yes.
Detective.
Detective.
What's the other theme? That's good.
It's Good News Clue.
Say that real loud.
Good News Clue.
Right you are. And there are clues that God gives us about his presence in our lives. And one of the questions I have is, as soon as I get my notes here, one of the questions I have is, how many of you believe in God? Wow, that's great. And how many of you have seen God? Oh, you haven't. Then how do you really know he exists? Yes.
We know he exists is because he said in the beginning that he would promise his son promise that he would save us from our sins.
Amen. This boy's going to do the sermon, by the way. Any other reasons we know he exists? Yes.
Because how did we get on the earth?
And how did the earth come and how do we get on it?
Oh, the question is, if he doesn't exist, then how do we get the earth? Very good.
The Bible.
That's excellent. The Bible. The Bible tells us. Anybody else?
We found him.
We found him. We got our magnifying glass and found him. So we have to look for clues, don't we? And the clues are in the Bible, right? And the clues are in creation. Sometimes we've got to be real detectives to find all the clues that God exists. How many of you here believe that there is a wind? Come on, do you believe there's a wind?
Yeah.
More people believe in God than the wind. And what are some clues that there is a wind? What's that?
We're living.
We're living, but the wind. What are the clues that there is a wind?
I don't know.
Yes.
Tornadoes.
Tornadoes, the power. There's power in there. What else? If you put yourself in, why do we put the fan there? Okay, so what's proof that there's wind?
You can feel it.
You can feel it. Another preacher. You can feel the wind. Anything else? Yes.
Hurricanes, they have lots of wind.
Yes, we can feel the power of the wind. You want to say something?
You can see the wind by the trees.
You can see the wind by the trees. These are excellent answers. How many of you are going to help in Vacation Bible School? Boy, are we well entrusted with all of you helping us. And that's the same with God. And sometimes we feel him. Sometimes we just sense his power. And yes, there are some times that we hear his voice. We may not see him, but he is all around us. So with that, thank you, guys. You may be seated. That was tougher than a regular sermon. Mike, we'll have you do a children's sermon next time. Thank you. They had great answers, didn't they? Wow. Well taught. Well taught. 1 Corinthians says, one more time, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And even though Paul was talking to the apostles, these words also apply to us as Christians. And that is, we are servants and servants of Christ. This word servant in the Greek can mean minister. It can also mean an under rower. Does anybody know what an under rower is? It's those that are in the hold of a ship that would do all the rowing. That's our responsibility. We're servants of Christ to do the rowing for his bidding. But what I really like about this, it says, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Well, now, what is a steward? A steward is one who manages everything for the master. Does a steward have any possessions? Does a steward have all the possessions of the master? No. Does a steward have all the riches of the master? No. But he manages these riches, the riches of God, the riches of the mysteries of God. And that's what he has for us. He has the riches of the mystery of God for us to hand out to others. They don't belong to us. They belong to God. Right, right. And we're entrusted with these mysteries. Just as a steward is entrusted for the household to buy the food and to feed the people in the household, what do you think we're entrusted in as stewards of the mysteries of God? We're entrusted to provide for those of the Master. We're entrusted to give out and to feed them the mysteries of Christ. Isn't that great? It's all here. Those that are joining us for Vacation Bible School, don't you sense that? That you are entrusted as stewards to hand out the provisions of the mysteries of God. Are we God? No. No. But does God give us wealth to hand things out? Absolutely. He gives us everything we need to hand things out. And it's this wealth that we hand out that baffles the unsaved. That baffles those people that do not know Christ. Because we hand out something special. We hand out forgiveness. We hand out mercy. We hand out grace. Most of all, we hand out love. We hand out hope. We hand out encouragement. And we can't do it of ourselves. It's entrusted to us. It's what God has given us to be stewards and give out to others. Does this make sense to you? It does. It does. And that's your job this week for Vacation Bible School. But what are the mysteries of God? I can only cover a few because there's probably dozens and dozens. So I'm not going to cover them all, but I'm going to cover the four major mysteries of God. But I'm going to need some real detective help. So I need some. I need four children to help me find clues. And so with that, oh my goodness, we have so many. Oh man. Okay. Thank you. What's that? Okay. Here. We gotta have a girl up here. One of you ladies. Right there in the pink. There you go. Here, let's. There you go. This shouldn't be this difficult. I'm a pastor. There you go. Here you go. Let's fix this. The tassel goes on top. Okay. Okay, clue number one. Once you try to find clue number one, but look at the sign, look at the overhead. Yeah, we got one. Okay, why don't you sit here until we get to clue number two, okay? But what are some of the mysteries that we are shown? And that is, we are entrusted in our hands to provide to others. And one of the mysteries we have is the question of why would Christ die for us? Why would Christ die for us? In Ephesians 6, 19 through 20, we read, "Pray also for me, for whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." And what mystery do we have to explain to people? The mystery of the gospel. And what is the mystery of the gospel? But that great story of Christ's life, his death and his resurrection for us. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And this is a message that of the good news. Gospel is Greek for good news. It's a message that he came to earth to sacrifice himself to save the world and give us eternal life. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And what is the mystery in that gospel? Why would he do that? Most of all, why would he do that for me? You know, I'm still trying to figure that out. Why would God send his son to die for me? To redeem me, to forgive me, and to give me a home with him forever? Do we sometimes ask ourselves that same question? I think we do, don't we? Why would he die for me? And we are entrusted with this mystery of the gospel, and it is this cause that Paul asked for prayer, which we need prayer so that we can fearlessly give people the gospel of Christ. And that we too pray that we can fearlessly declare this gospel to others as we will this week. We are stewards of the mystery of Christ in us. Clue number two. They're still trying to figure out what a baptistry is. So the mystery is, why would he live in us? And how can he live in us? Colossians 1:25-27 says this: I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the gracious, glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. The mystery is, why would God dwell in us? Someone once said of a fellow that if he changes his life, they would replace the statue in town with him. Because it's so difficult for some, for us to think that some would change their life, that would change their personal life. But people can change. And that's a mystery. Christ can work within us to change us. We can't fathom this. We can't fathom that the living God can dwell in us. I mean, I think that's pretty amazing. In Ephesians, Paul prayed that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And get this, in John 14:23, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And what's that telling us? It tells us that if we love Christ, that he and his Father will come into us. And that's the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he's in us. He is in us. And many of us have experienced that change, that changed life. And it's a dramatic experience of the before and after. Before we knew Christ and after we knew Christ. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified in Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And Paul is saying, I can change. Christ changed me. I was the chief of the chief evildoer. I persecuted, I killed, I hated. I had envy, I had jealousy, I had power. But all that was garbage compared to a life in Christ. And that was a man totally changed by Christ. And that wrote 2/3 of our New Testament. So we can change. We can change if we allow God to work in us. And this is the mystery that God's given to all of us and entrusted us. And that is a hope of glory, knowing that God can be in us as we give out the gospel. Number three, mystery given to us to protect and provide is that The gospel of Christ is what? For everybody. Clue number three. Yeah. And the question is, the answer to the mystery is, why would God make him available to me? Who am I that God would die for me? It's believing Jews and Gentiles are joined together in one body of Christ, in a universal church that we all share in the same promise in Christ. Let me read to you Ephesians 3:6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together in one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. We all have equal standing with Jesus, don't we? It doesn't matter what social scale we come from. It doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor. Acts 10:34 says that God is no respecter of persons, which means he shows no partiality. His grace and offer of salvation is to everybody. He shows no partiality. There's no status distinctions. Colossians 3:11 says, or points out, that here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, Ubers and Yinzes, barbarians and Scythians, slave or free. Christ is all and in all. That's a great mystery. Christ is for everybody. Christ is for everybody. No class, education, social status, color or creed is excluded from the gospel or good news of Jesus Christ. Least of all, salvation. And nobody but nobody's excluded from being saved. Nobody. What a great mystery that is. That we're all included or can be included in God's kingdom if we accept Christ as our Savior. And God doesn't care. He doesn't care where you come from. He doesn't care about the money you have. All he cares about is a personal relationship with you. Clue number four, and finally, number four is the understanding that we are entrusted with the mysteries of his godliness. Clue number four. Clue number four. Aha! Clue number four. Clue number four. Let's get to this last clue. I'm excited. Clue number four. Why would he, as God, visit us in the flesh? Why would he do that? The mystery of God coming down here in the form of a man in Jesus Christ. Here's what 1 Timothy 3:16 says. Beyond all question, the mysteries of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up for glory. Why would he do that? He was God. Why would he come in the flesh? Why would he want to face the pain that was before him? Why couldn't he just say, poof, everybody's good? Poof, everybody has a ticket. Why did he have to come down here and sacrificed himself for us. He walked with us. He talked with us. That's why we don't have a high priest that doesn't sympathize and understand the temptations and the trials that we go through. We do. But we found out through him as he walked the earth and was written about how we should live. He was an example to us. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And he loved people. And he was approved by the Holy Spirit when he was baptized by John the Baptist. And the dove came up and God says, "This is my son in whom I am very well pleased." Very well pleased. And the angels announced his coming. Not only did the angels announce his coming, they were there at the resurrection when he was physically tortured and died and was resurrected. And today, as well as back then, he was preached among the nations and remains to be preached among the nations through the disciples and through us. And finally, when he was taken up in glory, he ascended to heaven. He's on the right-hand side of God to plead our case. Why would he do that? Why would he reveal himself and allow himself this punishment since he was fully God? These are only a few of the mysteries of Christ that God has entrusted in all of us to hand out to those that are unsaved. The mystery of why would he die for us and provide us salvation, redemption through his blood on the cross? Why would he want to dwell within us? Why would he make himself and salvation available to everyone? And why would he empty himself of the power of God? Why would he empty himself? A man that had the power of God to die on the cross for us. What the kids didn't do is turn these around. Why would he be available for me? Why would he live in us? Why would Christ die for us? Why would he visit us in the flesh? John 4:10 says this: "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Whether he loved us or not, or whether we loved him or not, he still died for us. As we were yet sinners, he still went to the cross. And he did all this to gain a personal relationship with us, to walk with us each and every day. And Almighty God, who gave his son to die so that we may live. Now that's a mystery. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your son who died on the cross for us. The mystery that will go on forever. Understanding that it was only because of your love that you would do that, an all-loving God. Lord, this week of Vacation Bible School, we ask that you will help us to reveal the mysteries of God that you've entrusted unto us. We ask, Lord, that you will work in our hearts and minds to be able to articulate the cross and the blood of Jesus. So with that, Lord, we just pray a special time this week as we bring forth the mysteries, work within our hearts and soul, and help us to be your servants as well as your stewards of the good news. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.